It's Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. It's on your in your pew Bibles on page 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she said. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahairoi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is the word of the Lord.
So I started earlier on when I asked you to figure out a mistake you made and what was the consequences and how long did it last? For how many years or months or weeks did that mistake and its consequences have lasted? Don't tell me what the mistake is. Just shout out, if you thought about it, the mistake that lasted longest in your life. How many years that lasted, or how many months or weeks? Can you think of that? 22 and still going. Wow. Okay, anyone else? You don't have to beat Nathan with that one. Just shout the length. Because when we make mistakes, they have consequences and they keep going. Anyone else? Any volunteer? Paul? No? Okay. No one? Right. Well, Abram made a mistake, devastating mistake. Do you know the consequences of that, how long it lasted? 4,580 years. And still going. Ishmael is the father of the many Arab tribes from the Arabia Peninsula. He made another mistake, which we'll come to later on. After Sarah dies, he married or took a concubine by the name of Keturah. And Keturah bore him children who are the fathers and the ancestors of the tribes that Israel had to face when they came out of Egypt. And also they are part of the Arab tribes in that region. So cousins are fighting till this very day. There is nothing worse than a family feud. It lasts for so long. So what is going on in the story? We're looking at Abram. We're looking at the way he went at one stage beyond the promise, and then he learned to stick, to stay within the parameters of the promise. And then he won a great battle, and he discovered that God was with him in the battle. He responded to that to situation, and because he was walking with God, he knew he could move, and he won a great victory. And in that great victory, he met Melchizedek, who is the priest king, the forerunner of who Jesus is, and a description of meeting Jesus even at that time. And Jesus make reference to this, and the book of Hebrews make reference to this, of Abram meeting Melchizedek. And then we heard about the way, the greatest verse in scripture that says, and Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness, that it is faith that actually gives us the righteousness that we need to live in and be in. There is no other way of actually gaining that righteousness. And today we come to this, just two chapters previously. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you know what did Abram believe at that time? He believed that his descendants will be as many as the stars. And nothing was happening. We catch up with him here, still waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And maybe he's just giving up. But the text actually doesn't tell us that it was Abraham who has given up on the promise of God. The text tells us that it was Sarah who actually put the thought in his head. And he listened to that thought. And the thought was, look, I'm not going to give you a child. This is not going to happen. So Abram, let's count our losses and have one of my slave girls. Perhaps she will give you a son. And then I can mother children for you through my slave girl. But it didn't turn out as sweet as she thought it was going to turn out. Because the moment Hagar, can we have the image? The moment Hagar actually, please. The moment Hagar actually had discovered that she's pregnant, she began to actually undermine Sarah. So you're looking at an image of a statue. It's in Nazareth, just to illustrate to you the way that Arabs actually see connection with Hagar. This is known the statue of the tent of Hagar at the heart of Nazareth town. At one time, there used to be a wood around it. But of course, we got rid of it and we thought, wow, woods are not nice. Let's have a car park. So now it's in the middle of a car park in Nazareth, just as you go through the high street in Nazareth. But it's because it's the link of the Arab people with Hagar and with Ishmael. So Hagar discovers she's pregnant and begins to torment Sarah. That's what the text tells us. And Sarah is slighted even more. She's slighted because one, she didn't give Abram a son, and she's slighted because now a slave girl thinks she's greater than her. That's the problem. But where did the problem happen? The difficulty took place when Abram agreed to Sarah's suggestion. Because it made him waver on believing the promise. It made him think, maybe Sarah is Sarai at this stage. Maybe Sarai is actually right after all. I'm not going to have this son. Maybe I've just been dreaming about this God who showed up to me, about this God who said, I'm going to give you all this land. Maybe I'm just being fanciful in my thought that I'm going to be father of many nations. How can I fool myself any longer? I am 85 and I need to actually count my losses and find a different solution. It's one of my favorite themes that I come back to time and again. which is the theme of believing God even though he delays in the answer, and not try to walk past the promise and try to help God to fulfill his promise. Too many of us are very good at doing that. I have tried it, and I have the pain to actually remind me of the experience. When God said, I will do something, and it got delayed, I said, Lord, I'll help you out. I'll come up with my own plan, and I'll just ask you to bless it. This is what happened in this text. They came up with their own plan, and they said, God, you will bless this, won't you? God will bless you no matter. He loves to bless you. God's desire for his people is that they will be a blessed people. And please don't think that this is health and wealth teaching, because scripture is absolutely loaded with the promises of God's blessing on his people. And do you know why he wants to bless you? So you can be a blessing to others. So don't, when you're blessed, don't hold on to it selfishly, but say, Lord, thank you for the blessing you gave me. I receive it, I believe it, and I'm going to share it with all those who are around me. When you live that way, it stops being this negative health and wealth teaching that everybody is talking about, and it becomes a God health and blessing teaching that you can share with the people around you. You see, God calls us to be a blessing to the world. He never calls us to be the miserable people that keep reminding people of how bad they are. He calls us to say, and I wonder if you can do that to yourself, he calls you to say, look at me and look what God has done in my life. Are you able to do that? And I think it'll be a great thing to begin to live that way, to begin to say and to see, God, you have done amazing thing for me. You got me to wake up this morning and I'm still breathing. God, I had energy. God, I had a lovely meal. God, I spent time with friends, and I acknowledge that it's you who given me that. And Lord, I look at my life and I am blessed beyond blessing. The problem with many of us, we look at what we do not have and we begin to think that God hasn't blessed us. And the moment we enter into that way of thinking, we are in danger of stepping out of where God wants us to be and what he wants to do in our lives. Often when we try to help God to fulfill a promise for us that he has not done directly, when we try to do it by our own strength, God backs off. He said, I will still be with you. I still will bless you. But here you are doing something that will have consequences. I'd rather you wait for what I want to do, rather than you stepping out and doing what you think is best. Now, this is a recipe for many Christians of procrastination, of not doing anything. Isn't that true? And that's why we're terrified of it. If I ask you, how many of you, you don't need to put your hands up, okay? Because I'm not here trying to embarrass people. If I ask you, how many of you here tonight can actually say, I prayed and I heard God say to me, do this, and I gone out and I did it? Don't raise your hands. You see, because a lot of us are frightened of not hearing a voice and an answer, so we don't ask. And when we ask, some of us don't believe that God will speak. And we begin to make plans to actually fulfill what we're asking for, instead of saying, I'm gonna wait. I have a friend of mine who actually always checks with God. Whatever is coming their way, they always check with God. And I wish I could say they procrastinate quite a lot, because even when you check with God and the answer hasn't come directly yet, you can begin walking in the fulfillment of the blessing of what are you seeking, as long as you're walking in righteousness and in belief, as long as you're walking according to God's ways and to God's honoring desires for your life. You can begin to walk, and as you begin to walk, you begin to receive answers. As you begin to put things in place to make what you are seeking God for to happen, he will give you the answers. And we need to trust that God will provide the answers. A friend of mine says that the worst mistake he's ever done is actually to leave his church and go to another church. Just to put you at ease, this is not me. I'm not using a euphemism and saying a friend of mine. This is true, a friend of mine that actually happened to. He was headhunted for a church. And he said, wow, they want me. And he didn't actually spend time with Father and spend time with other Christians around him. And he didn't look into the details of the job he's been asked to go for. And he just says, well, it came out of the blue. It must be God. He didn't wait and he didn't check. And he went to that church. He moved from the south to the north. And he had 2.5 years of literally hell on earth. Everything fell apart. And he paid a huge, huge price. It wasn't the fault of the north. It just happened to be in the north. So northerners are all right. Is that okay? Thank you. I just saved myself, didn't I? That was a good save there. It just happened to be there. And he paid a hefty price. Within 2.5 years, he was on sick leave for about 8 months. And then he had to move. And the Lord then provided for him somewhere where he can heal up. Damaged his ministry, damaged his people that he left, and damaged the people that he went to. And now he's still in pain and he's still healing up. He moved without checking. It's so easy for us to actually try and help God of things that we believe he's spoken a long time ago over and he wants us to fulfill. And it's a dangerous thing to do. You see, Hagar wasn't offered to Abram by God. Hagar was offered to Abram by Sarai. Can you get the language of this? Let me repeat it. Hagar wasn't offered to Abram by God. She was offered to Abram by Sarai. The very language is wrong. And the Bible wants us to get that very language is wrong. And it leads to wrong consequences. A devastating mistake of Abram, this very, 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 very faithful man who heard and believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, now has to put up with huge problems in his home and in his family. And that problem lasted for the rest of his days. Later on, he will have to send Ishmael away. Can you imagine sending your own son away? He had to send his son Ishmael away. And once again, the angel had to appear to Sarai to console her and to Hagar to console her and to provide for her. Because she and the boy nearly died. And God provided for them a well. The angel provided for them a well. And they were able to live. This man who took this action because he believed a statement that came for another person in his life to be greater than the statement that came from God to his life. And now here's the thing. What are you waiting for from God? What has he promised over your life? I want to encourage you to wait patiently for God's provision. Don't force the issue. Don't try to do it. I'm going to give you a few examples of this. A friend of mine had a daughter that he absolutely loved passionately. And it broke his heart when she started to walk away from the Lord. And he tried to force her back into walking with the Lord. How many of you know that doesn't work? Yeah, we cannot force anybody to walk back with the Lord. It just doesn't work. And this friend of mine began to get angry, not just with his daughter because she's not walking with the Lord, but also with God. Because God is not looking after his daughter. And this friend of mine has been serving God for years. And one day, this friend of mine told me he was driving to a meeting in his own church. And as he reversed out of their drive, he just broke down in tears. And he shouted at God. He said, God, where are you? Why aren't you reaching out to my daughter? You know that I will cross the world to talk to one person about you. Why aren't you reaching out to my daughter? And the voice that came back to him, you need to let go of her and I will do the work. Wait and see, because I'm not after granddaughters, I'm after daughters. And my friend had to back out big time, because he had to sit and watch and see and love and be generous, even when the behavior was driving him nuts. He had to continue to love and to pray and to bless. And you know, and God did that. God did that. This friend of mine will tell you about other stories of his children who prayed for them one after another. And the more they prayed at one time, the more they went away, a couple of them. And then the Lord in his timing and in his promise brings to being what he decides to bring to being. But here is the thing. You need to hear his voice. You need to hear your voice for you. You start with the general promises of God. This book is absolutely amazing. You read and you discover the promises of God in here, and you get to know his voice, and you get to feel, you got a feel for the promises of him. You've got an understanding of his promises. So when the promises come independently, directly to you in your prayer time, you can trust it and not be fearful that you've been deceived. Because you have developed that muscle of knowing his voice and spending time with him. And he wants to speak to you directly, just as he spoke to Abram. Don't believe the lie that says God doesn't work the same way that he did in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. He still speaks to his people. And he delights in speaking to his people. And he delights in giving us promises. You know, most of the time he speaks to you, it will be as you read this book. And it will be personal. Because something that has been general, when you spend time with it, when you've been worshiping, when you're spending time with him, and when you're saying, Lord, I am hungry for your voice, a word will come out and it will be so personal that you know that even though it's been written 4,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, it is as fresh as though God has just spoken to you today. And you can actually move on it. And you can find a great release of God's blessing over your life. But the things you don't want to do is to do what you want and say, God said to me. And there are too many Christians who are doing that. I have done that. And I fess up to that. Because it's easy to convince others of the rightness of your action, especially if you're a religious leader like me, you see. If you say, God told me, it's a good thing to say, especially to your wife. God told me, darling. And she says, yes, when? That is a terrible question back. How many of us have used that as an excuse? We can't. We can't, because when we try to justify what we want by putting a spiritual heading or title over it, we end up being in a more difficult problem than we've ever been in before. Because we're just doing what we want and we're calling it God. That is almost idolatry. That is undermining who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. So Abram, let's go back to Abram. Are you still with me? None of you falling asleep? Okay. Abram accept what Sarai say to him. Hagar is pregnant. She's on the run because her mistress, began to mistreat her. And again, this great man of faith, this righteous man that was declared righteous, abdicates responsibility in caring for a weak person. I mean, Abram, where are you as a righteous person? How can you allow Sarai to treat Hagar the way she was treating her? How can you allow her to, or say to her, she's yours, do with her what you want. She's a human being, even though she's a slave. And we need to hear the voice of the scripture that as actually can be critical of the fathers when it actually shows their failures, because they want us to learn from their failures. All throughout this incident, it has manifested itself as one pain after another, because people did not behave according to the faith and the righteousness that they had in their life. And we need to guard our hearts from that. Abram says to Sarai, she's yours, do with her what you want. What a statement. It's very hard for a 21st century ears. We need to be softer on Abram, because in his day, well, she was a slave. She belonged to him. He could buy her or sell her. He could do with her what she wants. But nonetheless, there is a human being there that scripture says made in the image of God. And a challenge. But what baffles me is the angel's response. He meets her up and he says to her, go back to your mistress and be submissive to her. Oh, angel of God, are you sure that this is a good strategy? Don't you mean I should go back and fight her? Don't you mean I should go back and do stuff behind her back that make her life a misery? Don't you mean that I should actually try to be undermining of her every time I had a chance? Don't you mean, angel of God, come on, be on my side. Let me have my way here. You know how much I suffered. How many of you seen the film, The Help? Anybody seen the film, The Help? H-E-L-P. It's a book, it's a classic book about white-black relationships in the USA South. Absolutely amazing. And there is someone treated that badly who's a servant of one of the families. And the stuff she does for them to get her own way back on her is so disgusting and so horrendous. And it is, but she had her way back. She got her back. She got her back. Shouldn't Hagar have said, angel of God, can you just give me a leeway here? How much do you negotiate with God when he's asking you to do something that you're not too comfortable with? And you say to him, can I have a leeway here, God? Just a little bit. Let me have my way, 10%. And I'll give you the 90%. As long as I can get a little bit of satisfaction myself, I'll do all the other that you want to do. He says to her, go back. Go back. And be submissive to your mistress. It's a hard calling on Hagar's life. And the promise he gave to this child, it's not really a great promise, is it? Did you read that clearly? Because he's just declaring the future of this child that we're still living till today. You are now with child. That's great. She knew that anyway. She's pregnant. And you will have a son. That's good news if you know what you're having without scans and x-rays and different tests. That's excellent for those days. You cannot really work hard trying to find the name for the gender that is coming and prepare the colors of the nursery. I can talk about that because my daughter is expecting any minute now. And I know we've been talking names for ages, even though she knows the name of, even though she knows the gender. But the angel even saved her from trying to figure out a name for the boy. He says, you'll call him Ishmael. So here he goes. She knows she's going to have a boy. She knows it's going to be Ishmael. So far, so good, isn't it? So the angel seems to have met her halfway. And then he says to her this. He will be a wild donkey. Oh, I like that. Why not lion? You know, you started to bless. Why don't you go with a bigger blessing? A wild donkey? And listen to the rest of it. His hand will be against everyone. He is going to be absolutely obnoxious. Is it? He's going to fight for everything. And every hand will be against him. It doesn't seem like much blessing for this boy, that this boy is going to be a great boy. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Great! Angel, thank you very much. This is very reassuring. I'm very glad I'm having this boy. Can we start again, please? Can I go somewhere else? Is there somewhere else out there that can give me a different message? What do you think Hagar wanted to hear? She wanted to hear, he'll be father of many nations. That was included. But she wanted to hear that he will be great. All of us want greatness for our children. All of us want good lives for our children. All of us want peaceful life for our children. All of us want a life for our children that is better than ours. But this boy seemed that he's going to have a different approach and different experience of life. Later on, we'll meet him and we will discover what God has done with him and how his nation, the nations that came out of him, actually for over a millennia has ruled the known world. For over a millennia. And yet, it wasn't the source of the blessing that God was bringing. A devastating mistake. Don't help God to fulfill out his promises in your life by trying to find a shortcut. You can help God by beginning to walk in the promise in the place that you are, walking faithfully and righteously with him, and you'll begin to receive the direction in your life and to see the promises over your life. Can I be blunt, a little bit more blunt now? Is that all right? I'm nearly finished, so I'm allowed to say it, and you can. I'm going to finish, I'm going to run tonight, so you're not going to be able to catch me and have a go at me. I'm going to be really blunt. Single people, youngsters, you're walking with God. You're praying for a partner that will walk with you the rest of your life. Don't settle for anyone less than another one who's walking with God. Too many of our youngsters have done that. And we've seen them go colder and colder. And the life ended up being more and more painful. Married people who have come to faith or who have married someone who doesn't walk with God the way you walk with God. Remember what scripture says. Stay in the place where you first were called. Do not think you can leave, but love them, honor them, and display the righteousness of God in your life before them. Walk that life, even though it might be difficult, but one thing you need to do, make sure you don't give up on you walking faithfully and passionately with God because you want to allow them to see that you care for them more than you care for your God. I've seen that also, and I've seen people go cold and walk away from the Lord, and the pain is huge. Is that okay? Business people. If it gets tough to pay the taxes, if it gets tough trying to figure out a new breakthrough, and God has promised greatness and big things for you, don't try to find a shortcut and start to make shortcuts here and there to get to where you believe God wants you. Wait for him. Always walk righteously. Always walk with faith before your God. There are so many applications to this because we quite often say, God, you haven't done what we wanted you to do within this time scale, so I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to put it on a title that it's you. And we end up paying a cost and God will come to the rescue, but the pain is still high. Abraham did a huge mistake. He listened to Sarah instead of listening to God. He undermined the call of righteousness in his life, and the consequences were great. I find it always cheaper to learn from the mistake of others rather than repeating myself. I'm going to leave you with this. You might think, oh, you really, really were nasty to us tonight, Monis. I hope you don't think that. And I hope you take it to heart and you pray through it. It's meant to be an encouraging sermon. Don't make the mistakes of Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that every promise over every person here tonight is to bless and to give a hope and a future. And Lord, the call upon us is to wait for you to fulfill these promises over our life. And Lord, tonight we wait. We wait for you. And we say, Lord, we want to hear that promise. We want to hear what you've got for us. We want to hear about the person you bring into our life. We want to hear about our children. We want to hear about the jobs. We want to hear about the missions, about the ministries you're calling us into. And Lord, we ask you to give us patience for you to fulfill your promise and not to help you out in our own way. But Lord, also guard us from procrastination that we don't end up not doing anything. Help us to get this right. So in all of our ways, we'll honor you in our lives and be a testimony to others that they will look at us and will see, look what God has done for them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer tonight, whether it's something that discernment triggered or you have come with something tonight that you need prayer for, there'll be a team on my left, your right, to pray with you. Don't go without being prayed for. It's always good to pray through things. And offer any mistake, especially if it's still a live mistake till today, offer it to God and ask him to deal with it. And ask him to reverse its implication and to give you the original intended blessing for your life.
Way his fingers have worked through human history. Just think about those things as we sing this first song. It's called Revelation Song. Enjoy it.